Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
Hi there, it's Sue Grant Marshall, Reading Matters, and of course that means it is Radio Today. And I don't have him on the studio, but I do have him on the line. And just hang on a second, seems like we might be having a little problem, but the competent and ever-present Eddie is handling it out. So, I have Dion Mayer on the line. He's actually in Stellenbosch at the moment. Although I don't think that's where he lives. Dion, hello, darling. How are you?
Hi, Sue. I'm very well, thanks. And thanks for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure.
And and I tell you, Dion, your latest book, which I've got in front of me here, Cobra, is just fantastic. I suppose everyone says this to you every time, Dion, but I do think that this is, okay, I'm going to say it's your best for me. For me.
That is very kind of you, Sue. I mean, an author never gets tired of hearing that sort of thing. You know, with every book, there's just so much pressure, and you never know if you get it right. So it's really great to hear that. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad, Dion, because it is. I mean, everyone says this, thrillers, detective, you know, you can't put them down, etc., etc. But it is certainly the case with Cobra. But I'm going to come back to Cobra in a minute, because what I just want to mention up front here is what you're coming up for next week. The Bloody Book Week, Mystery, Mayhem and Murder. And this is Jenny Chris Williams, Jenny and Company. And it means that detective thriller writers, top people like you, because you're an international thriller writer here. And in fact, do you know, Dion, on the front cover of Cobra, it says you are one of the best crime writers on the planet. And that was the Daily Mail saying that. So, I mean, we are really lucky to have you up here in Joburg next week. Now, the Bloody Book Week, darlings, takes place from the 6th to the 9th of August. And there are dinners and suppers and cocktail parties. And there's would you call it a workshop, Dion, that you're doing? What is it? A workshop.
As far as I understand, it's a workshop. It's going to be my first time. I'm not sure if Bloody Book Week has done that before. I certainly haven't been part of that specific workshop. It's me and Peter James and myself. We're going to be there. And I suppose it's to help aspiring crime authors to get going.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I would think even any author, Dion, because you explain the process of writing, etc. And they have. Jenny has had these workshops before. I know Mike Nichol, in particular, was very much involved with one. It was last year or the year before.
Right, and Mike is the perfect guy for the job. He's such a great author. And I think he's a very good teacher, too.
Yes, and I'm sure you are, too, because I spent not exactly a week, but I love exaggerating, Dion, because I'm a journalist. So I spent nearly a week with you at the Richmond Book Fair, and that was a couple of years ago. Maybe it's even 3 years ago. Which one were you launching then, Dion?
You know, I think it was 7 days, so it must be 2 years ago.
Okay. And I mean, that was such fun. And I really got to know you there for the very, you know, when I say ordinary, Dion, I don't mean ordinary in that sense, but a friendly, everyday person that you can chat to, you can relate to, you can hug. Not a kind of skeletal person who rattles around and gives you cold stares. No.
No, I think all crime authors are very ordinary guys. I mean, you know, I think this whole idea of an author being this bohemian, arty type is a total misconception. We very ordinary. I mean, I take out the garbage every Tuesday morning.
Dion, yes. Now, I'm going to, by now, I hope you've all grabbed your pens because I'm going to give you the website. Then, when I've said goodbye to Dion much later on in the show, I am going to give you more background information on the Bloody Book Week and where to book. But for now, grab your pens and write down the website. If you go into this, you will find the whole schedule for the Bloody Book Week. And here it is, www, and then all one word, thebloodybookweek.co.za. So all one word, thebloodybookweek.co.za. Now, Dion, I'm going to talk about Cobra, and you've got some new characters in Cobra, but then I think every one of your books has new characters in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the bad guys have to be new all the time.
Yes.
Benny, Crystal and company can't keep on catching the same bad guys, but it would get very boring. So, yeah, there are a couple of new characters. I think my favorite is Tyrone Tainbury,
yes,
the pickpocket.
And I tell, you know, isn't that interesting? He's definitely my favorite. And you know why I love this book so much, Dion? Is because it's such a real book. You know what I love about it too? You've got the map. I've got this book in front of me here. It's got a bullet hole in the middle of your name, D-E-O-N. So where the O is the bullet. And the guys in the studio are having a look at it. There's the bullet hole. And then you've got a map. And which is of, if you like, what I used to call, I don't know, the Western Cape, sort of, you know, but coming right in on the peninsula. And Franschhoek, which is where the crime takes place, and then the railway lines. And boy, I used to ride those trains, Dion. And what I love about Tyrone, the pickpocket, is how real this guy is and what a good oak he is. You know, he is, okay, he's a pickpocket, and he was taught by his uncle, I think it's his uncle, how to be a really superlative pickpocket. And what he wants to do, but Dion, don't worry, I'm not going to give anything away. He wants to provide an education for his sister, his beloved sister, so that she doesn't have to be a pickpocket like him and a kind of a dropout like him. So that, for me, is the heart and the core and the very emotional, real aspect to this novel. And then the background to it, you've really gone international, Dion, with a mathematics professor from Cambridge University going to a holiday home just outside Franschhoek. Now, you've given this name, this La Margot, it's a made-up name, or does it really exist?
No, it's an absolutely made-up name. I think existing guest houses in Franschhoek would object if I had four dead bodies on the premises. So I had to make it up.
And on the first page. And then Benny Crystal, our beloved Benny, who's always in trouble because now he's trying to really stay off the bottle and not be an alcoholic, and that whole, what's that thing, AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, every day is a new day kind of thing. And Alexa, the singer, is madly in love with him, and she's the most gorgeous, luscious, warm person, and she absolutely adores Benny. And it's so nice after what he's been through, you know, with the divorce and kind of, in inverted commas, you know, losing his daughter, et cetera, et cetera, you know, in the divorce. Now, going back to the international side of it, what made you go there, Dion, in terms of the scary Cobra? What made you think of Cobra?
Well, you know, I read the article in the New York Times, this is quite a while ago, about the algorithms that the CIA and the FBI are using in the international banking system to identify terrorists. And when I read the article, this is 6-7 years ago, I sort of made a note, and I thought there was a lot of thriller value in that. You know, it's if the CIA is using software to identify terrorists, then surely the terrorists would love to get their hands on the software so that they can know how to elude it.
Yes.
And that's the way that I think all authors approach potential stories, is that we look for sources of conflict. You look for something that's valuable that the bad guys want to get their hands on, and then you build it up from there. So when I started planning Cobra, I knew that I wanted to use that. But it is an international thing. The history of that algorithm is very interesting. The Americans started with it, but they needed the European Union and the UK to get in on the act too, because if you don't monitor the international financial traffic, then you won't be able to identify the terrorists. So it was always going to have an international angle, because South Africa is not directly involved in the running of that whole system.
Yes.
So that's really, it was out of necessity that I had to bring in the international guys. And, you know, it's such a politicized thing these days, the whole idea of Big Brother is watching. And, we are being listened to on our cell phones and our email is being read, that it really had a lot of potential, but it was always going to be, certain elements were going to be international.
Absolutely. And so many questions to ask you. Must I stick with the book, or must I ask you what? No, I'm going to stick with the book for the time being, Dion. Okay. Why Cobra? Because the thing is, right from the beginning, Benny Grissel, who's your DI special detective, et cetera, and he works in the South African Police Force. He's not a private person working in a private company.
Right.
He picks up this bullet and he sees a cobra's head carved into the bullet.
Yes.
What made you think of using a cobra's head? Because I grew up with snakes, because I grew up in Botswana. Right. We had lots of cobras.
Yeah. You know, it was one of the things I wanted to, there had to be something that led the cops to this international hitman, and the hitman, he wants to make a name for himself. It's really his form of advertising.
Because, yes.
He's got to build a brand as a hitman so that he gets hired.
Yes.
And you know, it was just I just kept on thinking, the guy comes from Mozambique. He's the illegitimate child of a former Russian soldier.
Yes.
Who was there back in the 70s in Mozambique, and a Mozambican woman. So, you know, I just kept on thinking, what could it be, and what animal is very deadly?
Yes.
The cobra, the hitman shoots people between the eyes. Mozambican cobra spits people in the eyes. You know, so there were certain correlations there. It was a process of getting to that. And then that also supplied the title of the novel, which was quite nice.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's very compelling, you know, because you read it and you wonder. I kept wondering, but is the actual snake going to appear? Having so... It does not appear. And and having the map in front of me in this book, I love maps. I think that it doesn't matter whether we're all South Africans and we know the Cape very well, the peninsula, because I worked there for 7 years on the Argus, or, you know, looking into the Franschhoek area and all the rest of it, to see where Tyrone runs and, you know, where Cobra is and this gorgeous little sort of villa where Lamargo, you know, where this Cambridge professor is hiding out. It all makes it so intensely real and something we can all relate to and look at on this map. Dion, are you going to... No, I know what I want to go back. It's Sue Grant Marshall on Reading Matters Radio today, and I'm chatting to our very own Dion Mayer, but internationally recognized, internationally famous for his super thriller detective novels with our delicious Benny Grissel. And he is coming up here next week, Dion, to take part. And I'm also going to take part in that, darlings. I'm going to tell you about it at the end of the at the end of the program. And Dion is going to be at various functions, cocktail parties, lunches, dinners. And what you need to do is go on Jenny Chris Williams' website, www. thebloodybookweek.co.za. Dion, you know, we've woken up this morning to hear, you know, or it was yesterday actually, that the NPA offices had been burgled and now this is all intelligence again and maybe stealing computers and stealing information. Just what you're talking about. It's really scary.
Yeah, you know, it's the dark underbelly of the intelligence services, and I think there's so much shenanigans going on that it really is scary. But not only in South Africa, internationally, if you look at how the Americans are spying on the Germans, who are their NATO partners, and on the French, and
yes,
the Chinese,
yes,
is spying on everybody. It's a weird and wonderful world we're living in, and the great thing is that it is great fodder for thriller writers to dig into.
But I mean, it's scary in terms of South Africa because, you know, there seems to be so much infighting going on in that department, in the intelligence services. Is that something that characterizes international intelligence services? Because it seems to have been going on for quite a long time here.
Yeah, you must look at the history of our own intelligence services. We used to have a whole number of them. They were sort of splintered all over, and then they were amalgamated into a central body. And whenever that happens, there's always going to be jostling for power positions and for influence. So in South Africa, I think we're a little bit unique in that regard, that I don't think the intelligence services are completely settled quite yet.
And do you have any ideas why this is so, Dion?
Well, again, you know, because there were a number of different intelligence services in South Africa that existed before, and it's only been, what, 5-6 years now since they've all, maybe not even that long, 4 years now, since they've all been amalgamated into one single big intelligence unit.
Yes.
And I think they're still, you know, and then the police, they have their own intelligence, the criminal intelligence service of the police. I suspect that the military have their own intelligence services still, and there's a lot of competition between all of them.
Yes.
And then I suppose, you know, the politicians would love to get the support of intelligence services. We know that there are factions within political parties in South Africa, so there's a lot of very interesting stuff going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, well, I suppose, I don't know, we can't hope and pray. They must just jolly well get their act together and do what they're supposed to do, which is spy on all the other countries and
right.
and solve our crime.
Yeah.
Dion, you know, I was at the Kingsmead Book Fair. I helped to organize that a couple of months ago, and you were there too. And you always get asked this question about South African police and how they are not up to the job, etc., etc., etc. And I know that irritates you because you say police all over the world have their problems, you know. It's not just us.
Absolutely. You know, I think our South African police services are doing a fantastic job. The problem, I think the main problem is that when there are members of the police services who do something wrong, that becomes front page news stories. But the vast majority of them who do their job with great distinction, that doesn't get the same sort of sensational coverage. But the fact is that our prisons are full because of police good work. Our court system is sort of backed up because there are so many criminals who are being brought to justice. We have 200,000 members of the South African Police Service, and I honestly believe that the vast majority of them are doing great work. There are people who work with dedication and honesty. Like any big organization, whether it's a private company or a state or a parastatal, you will have bad apples. Amongst 200,000 people, there's got to be certain people who are not doing their job or are corrupt. But, you know, to label the police force in general and as a whole as inefficient, I just don't think is true. Every time I write a new book, I go spend time with the Hawks in Cape Town.
Yes.
I can tell you that they are the most dedicated people that I've ever seen. They work so hard. They are so focused on catching the bad guys. And the conditions under which they work, and if you look at the pay that these people get,
yes,
it's just a miracle that they are so dedicated and so passionate about their work. So I really get upset when people start making derogatory remarks about the police. I think most police people are doing a great job, and I think we should really be grateful that that we have a police service that is really functioning. No government and no police service can stop all crime. It is just impossible.
Yes,
no
yes.
country in the world has that happen.
Yes.
I do get upset when, yes, we do have crime in South Africa, and we have a fairly high crime rate, but even in that comparison, I'm also uncomfortable. You know, a lot of statements are being made about crime rate being the highest, this and the highest that, but what are we comparing it to?
Yes.
How can you compare South Africa to Britain or France or Sweden or America? We're not a first world country.
Yes.
We have much bigger inequality, and we've gone through historically through some huge changes. If
yes.
you look at what has happened in the police services in the last 20 years, no other police service in the world has gone through similar major changes. And it's now, I think, in the last 5 years, if you look at our crime rate, it's been coming down
yes.
every year. So slowly but surely, I think we're getting there. But their work, the policemen and women, their work is so politicized,
yes.
And the media focuses so sharply on it that
yes.
I sometimes feel sorry for them.
Oh, that's interesting, Dion. Tell me, do they ever ask you for advice?
I'm the one who asked them for advice. I would not ever presume to know their jobs. You know, these, especially the Hawks, I can tell you that these are seasoned and very, very smart people. And so I'm the one who asked for advice.
Well, I'm teasing you there, but I'm sure they know of what a champion you are for those, you know, for the good police force, you know, and as you say,
yeah.
most of them are. And I must say, personally, my heart always leaps when I hear on a talk show somebody phone in and tell a good news story about the police, because then it reaffirms your faith, you know, in them.
Exactly.
And yes, yes. And now, you know, you touched on, you know, referring to countries that are first world, like, for instance, France, Scandinavia, etc. What is it about the Scandinavians and their crime, Dion? And aren't we lucky to have you, and aren't you lucky to have a country like South Africa, which is not Scandinavian?
Yeah, but you know, that's an interesting comparison, because the fact is that real crime, real world crime, and crime fiction has really no relationship. That's why we read so many good crime novels coming from Scandinavia, because the country doesn't need real crime to have interesting crime fiction.
Yes.
In any country in the world, you can take a look at crime, and between 80 and 85% of all real world crime is domestic in nature, happens between people who know each other,
yes.
and is drug or alcohol related.
Yes.
Now, that's, if that is the majority of crime anywhere, and also in South Africa, you can look at the statistics in South Africa. That
yes.
is, I think 83% of crime in South Africa is exactly that. There's no mystery there. There's nothing romantic. There's nothing thrilling there. It's just very sad and tragic, and you can't make fiction out of that. So
yes.
all crime
yes.
authors make up the crimes to fit. I mean, the genre is supposed to be entertaining.
Yes.
So to take,
yes.
to take something that is heartbreakingly sad and try and make that entertaining is just sick and wrong. So, you know, that is why living in South Africa, which has a higher crime rate than Sweden, for instance, doesn't give me as a crime author more opportunities. I still have to make it up.
Absolutely. And I think that point you make, you know, entertainment, because here, you know, we sit, we burn the midnight oil, we've got to find out who did it and if they get caught. And it is entertaining, even though it makes our hearts pound. And as you have said, Dion, we read these because we so fear our own deaths and a violent death. I mean, Woody Allen said, I'm not frightened of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And and so, you know, I think this is what, the you know, draws us into reading these books. And as you say, when we talk about crime in South Africa, just remember where it happens and that there isn't any fun to be made of what goes on, you know, in people's homes and houses and, you know, little children and et cetera being killed. Dion, your book, now I'm just quickly looking to see how much it is on the press release, and I haven't got my glasses on. Guys, please read here. I'm asking innocent. It's at the top here somewhere. Dion, how much is this book selling for? Do you know? How much, darling?
I have no idea. I haven't.
How much? It's selling for $285. Innocent has read this very faint white print on its gold background. It's selling for $285. It's paperback. It's got, is this, who's, what, is this Signal Hill or Devil's Peak? What is this on the cover, Dion? I'm not sure. Well, it's a, or maybe it's even Musenberg.
No, that's Lion's Head.
Oh, it's Lion's Head, Lion's Head.
Yeah, the photograph is taken from Campsburg.
That's right. Yes. And it's sort of misty and there are the palm trees. Of course it's Camps Bay. And so there it is. Dion Meyer, Cobra, a Benny Crisol novel, $285, paperback, and you won't be able to miss it. And darlings, please go onto that website and chat to Dion Meyer next week at one of his many appearances, as I have been doing at the Bloody Book Week. Dion, thank you so much for chatting to me, and I hope I see you next week.
Sue, it's been a great pleasure. Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Great, Dion. Cheerio, Dion. And
thank
now, bye-bye, darling. Bye. And now, everybody, I'm going to tell you about some of the functions that are happening at the Bloody Book Week. For instance, on this time next week, Thursday afternoon at 10 o'clock, I am going to be having a chat, discussion, whatever, with that beloved Amanda Kutsia and her books, her crime books, which concern that gorgeous gypsy guy who lives in Bedford in England. But he's come to South Africa in his latest book. So Amanda Kutsia is going to be there. And so is Peter James. Now, Peter James is the most extraordinary character. He writes his books at night. He shakes a cocktail. He's British. And he races motor cars, even though he's about, I think he's 64 or something. He's very friendly, smooth-looking. I interviewed him on this program of mine, Reading Matters, last year, and he and Amanda are going to be talking about how they write their books, which they both do after hours. Peter James shakes up a cocktail or two, has a cigarette, I think. He did on the video at one stage about what he does, and then he settles down to write his books, and he is so laid back. You can't believe that he writes these absolutely extraordinary detective novels and does so easily in the evenings. Amanda Kutsia is the, she just moved from Rustenburg, where she was the deputy principal, to another school in Potchefstroom, where she is teaching several subjects and has a senior position. And she's going to talk about how after a really hard day's work at school, she then sits down and writes, her books. Now, that is at 2:30 and it's at the Europa Cafe in Parkview, right there next to Zoo Lake in Tyrone Avenue. So you can book for that at the same one I gave you, that address, the www.bloodybookweek.co.za. And you're also invited to cocktails at Exclusive Books at Hyde Park, and that will be on Wednesday. But you do need to book. It's on Wednesday evening, and it's at, I'm just trying to see the time here, it's at 6 o'clock. And the phone number to book, you have to book, is 011-352-4298. And I'm going to give you the Bloody Book Week email address. I'm not email. website again, because you'll find all the information there. And please come to mine. I'd love to meet you. Come and say hi and tap me on the shoulder. It's www.thebloodybookweek.co.za. Well, it's been lovely chatting to you today, and I will catch you next week when I'll be chatting to C.M. Elliott, a Zimbabwean author who has a new detective for South Africa. Bye-bye, darlings, from Sue Grant Marshall, Reading Matters on Radio Today.